thanks for joining us on the YSF podcast, the podcast brought to you by Yorkshire Sport Foundation. This episode takes a look at the Navigating Local Systems work that began in the autumn of 2019. It sits alongside Sport England's local delivery pilots, which you may be familiar with, particularly here in Yorkshire and the Humber, where there are a number of local delivery pilots. If it's something new to you, then we'll put a link in the show notes so you can go and find out some more into the background of those pilots. Now, Navigating Local Systems works with a significantly smaller amount of investment in comparison to those delivery pilots. It focused on working within three areas, Luton, Liverpool and Wakefield, and of course with our focus on Yorkshire, we're looking at the work that's been going on in Wakefield. Navigating Local Systems were put in place to help people and organisations better understand and connect local systems by developing their knowledge, skills and the capacity to drive the change that's needed to increase physical activity within local communities where the need is the greatest. We have four guests to help us discuss what's been going on in Wakefield, and to help put voices to the names, I asked all four to introduce themselves.
Louise Upton, I work at Sport England and I'm the strategic lead for the Place Collaboration and Learning Team. And I've been working with Gail and Amy in Wakefield on Navigating Local Systems since 2019, I think, so quite some time.
Hi, I'm Gail Elvidge. I work for Yorkshire Sport as Development Manager working in the Wakefield District. I have a dotted line across to the council, so I work quite closely with Amy and her team over there.
Hi, I'm Amy Sharp, Health and Wellbeing Manager at Wakefield Council. I sit within Arts, Culture and Leisure, but have a dotted line back to Public Health.
Yeah, hi everyone. My name's Ken Masser. I work for a company called Muva, and I guess I've been providing some systems leadership coaching to the team in Wakefield over the last 2, maybe even 3 years.
Great, thanks everyone. The very obvious and logical place to start is, what is Navigating Local Systems? And when we talk about a system in this sense and the work that's gone on since 2019, what do we mean? It might mean different things to different people, might mean nothing to some people. So yeah, Louise, give us that background to Navigating Local Systems.
It's an interesting question, and I think the word navigating, which fits in nicely with your map actually, Ken, it is a good one because it is complex and system change is complex. And I think for us, Navigating Local Systems started because we'd started working with 12 local delivery pilots across the country on a kind of whole system change journey. And we wanted to see if we could try and do a smaller test and learn approach with some places. So Wakefield were one of three places. There was Wakefield, Luton and Liverpool, where we didn't give them any funding, but we gave them support in the form of a facilitator to help them kind of, well, sorry for use of the term, but to navigate their local system, really. And it was about trying to unpick the complexity locally and think about, actually, if we just go and put physical activity programs on in a place, we're not going to get whole system population level physical activity change. So if we kind of keep doing physical activity programs locally, we're not going to see population level shift. And if we just give them a bit of capacity, would that make any difference, I guess, to the system? So it was about trying to build a movement rather than delivering a project. And I think about Navigating Local Systems, not about what, but how. And people say, well, what is it? What is Navigating Local Systems? And if you try and describe it as a what, you kind of come a bit unstuck. And it's really about the way that you work. So the way that you talk to your community. And I think in Wakefield particularly, they started working at a neighbourhood level as part of the system. But if we think about the system as the whole of a place, in order to get population level change, you'll need to work across all layers of that system eventually to see that kind of population level shift. So it was just a bit of a test and learn, a bit of a punt. Will this work? Bit of capacity in a place? Will that enable them to start to unpick some of those relationships, some of that complexity, and start collaborating in the right way to see population level shift? And it's not going to happen overnight, right? It's going to take years. But Wakefield are kind of on that early stage of their journey in just trying to see shifts in relationships to start with. And I think that's the difficulty, because people want to see physical activity outcomes immediately. And that's why this is a real you've got to kind of put your trust in the process, because you're not going to see physical activity in a place to start with. You've got to start working from the ground up.
The thing that I'd add, which has been really interesting in the Wakefield work, is this idea of, and Louise has touched on it, this idea of exploring how we can do things differently. Like, what is a different approach to what we've ever done before? And that takes some creativity and some innovation and some thinking in different ways to try and identify opportunities or leverage points within the system to say, well, if we push a bit here or pull a bit there or connect something here, what difference would that make? And so I think it's, you know, there's that real idea of sort of innovation and doing things differently than we've perhaps attempted to do them over the last 30 years is that a really important part of, I think, of the navigating local systems work and then systems leadership more broadly.
And that leads nicely into how we've decided to sort of structure this, because we've got 4 years of work to try and touch on it in, I guess, a linear narrative and touch on milestone points. We thought it'd be best to go of what that approach is, and that's, you've segmented that into six different areas at beginning, helpfully, handily, with what you've just said, Ken, with doing things differently. So Gail talks about where that started. I guess doing things differently started from the very first event for this piece of work, didn't it?
Yeah, so right back when we first started this work, we were really clear that we didn't want to gather people in a room from the outset to talk about physical activity in the way that perhaps had been done before. It felt like if we wanted to get a different outcome, we had to do something different. So we were really clear about trying to do that differently. But then we were like, well, how do you engage people in a conversation then if you don't get them together and talk about this stuff? So we're like, so how do you do that different? And in conversations with Ken, that he helped us kind of think things through. I think it was Amy came up with the idea of having the first event in at the Farmer Copley's maze, the maze nearby to us. It was just the right time of year where that would have been due for getting cut down, so we were able to go there and use that how we wanted. So we got lots of people together to come and use the maze as a bit of an analogy, cheesily, for whole systems working, and talked about what it means to navigate that maze, and you might take a wrong turn or end up in a dead end. So we had lots of people on a red hot sunny day wandering around this maze looking for questions and then chatting about what that meant, which really opened up a conversation about the how you do it, not the what we're going to do. So I think we realised that in Wakefield there was a desire across the system to do things differently. There were other people starting to show an interest in working differently. We just weren't quite sure how to do it. So this felt like a really good starting point. And it went down really well. And I think it created a space for people to think differently. If you put people in a different environment that they wouldn't normally have a work-related meeting in, it straight away puts them in a different headspace. And one of the things that we also worked on with Ken was like about the quality of the invite and the quality of what you're inviting people to. So make it a fun thing that people might actually want to come along to, even though, you know, it has a serious professional subject, but there's no reason to make that something that needs to be boring and usual. So we saw people kind of connecting more personally with the work as a result, and the conversation, and wanting to come with a mindset of curiosity. So I think it really paved the way then for us to do some more unusual things, which have involved all kinds of stuff. We've had people going out on asset treasure hunts and sending photos back to a WhatsApp group. We've had some senior leaders who sent photos back of them playing in a playground, which, you know, it's unusual, isn't it? But people are human, and we need to remember that in all of this work, that it's about connecting to each other as humans. We've had people planting seeds together in an allotment and talking about how great things can grow from small ideas. We've worn different hats, we've made and worn them.
As in actually physically worn, not just that turn of phrase, wearing different hats.
Yeah, we've made hats and we've worn them.
favourite hat from that, you know, just to
I think it was a bit of a bog standard kind of pirate hat, but, right. You know, it worked. So we had a dummy run first and they were all a bit small. So, you know, there is actually fine art to making hats that's very important in this work. So, yeah, I think doing things differently has... you've got to be careful for it not to be gimmicky, but it does make things stick in people's minds. They have that anchor in their mind about, oh, yeah, that's where we went and did that. And one of the things that we saw happening as a result of doing things differently were we started to gather advocates for the way that we were doing things, we knew we couldn't jump straight in and talk about physical activity. We had to talk about what is it like in Wakefield and what the conditions needed for us to be able to build a strong base to work from. And I think there were people who were interested and curious in how we were doing it. And they were trying to do things in their own work streams and their own departments or teams or organisations. And it just gathered some interest that way. And then that's how we've then been able to start the conversation about what does that mean for physical activity and movement in Wakefield.
And you mentioned there's a particular event in Havercroft and Ryhill that seemed to particularly land well. Do you want to explain why you sort of highlighted that as something that worked particularly well, and what was it about it that made it work so well, do you think?
I think it comes back to we had some senior leaders attend that event who were just about to kick off some big pieces of work themselves. And for me, I think it was the time that they clicked and realised that we were doing something a bit different and that they could work with us to understand how we were working and to also access some support through Ken's expertise and background. He'll hate the fact that I've just referred to him as having some expertise. certainly that event gave us an opportunity to be a bit more playful, and that was the one where we had people, we used Cluedo cards to describe different assets. So things like community centres, a pub landlord, a resource library, things like that people, instead of the usual Cluedo environments, we swapped them out for community assets, and that includes people. And so we used those Cluedo cards as a way of connecting people together. That's how you got into your group to begin with. So instead of just saying, right, group one, group two, group three, you had to find people that had some corresponding cards. And then they went out on this treasure hunt, but not a find a community centre. It was a find a place where you can be creative, find somewhere that's good for your mental health, and to take the photos, send them to the WhatsApp group that everybody was part of, and then they came back and talked about what they saw from those different perspectives. I think it just was a bit of a revelation for some people to be out and about and wandering around the community and finding really positive things that they could come back and be enthused about when they got back and had the conversations. So it was just a different, more lighthearted way of doing it, but also putting a real asset-based slant on the work.
I think that leads quite nicely into the second theme, which is sort of second part of your approach, and you've sort of touched on it throughout your answer, really, is about positivity and energy building and Amy doing those things differently. Like Gail mentioned, people come expecting to be sat in a room, and when you put something different onto them, I suppose, that does that help create that positivity, and it just rolls on from there? Is that what you've experienced?
Yeah, definitely. I think, as Gail said there about the positivity of the treasure hunt, it just gets people thinking. Often we look at these communities and we think about what's wrong with them, you know, things that could be improved. But when you go in with a more positive slant on it and you're looking at what's already there, you come away with a completely different impression of a community. And I think that was, like Gail said, a light bulb moment for a lot of people when we did the Havercroft and Ryhill event. And throughout our work, we've taken this asset-based approach to it. So we started off with sort of what were our assets, who did we know, who did we already have relationships with, and then we worked with that, and we worked with the invite in terms of talking to people that we knew and we trusted, and they trusted us, and we invited them in a really sort of positive way. So they came knowing that they trusted us to put on something useful to them. They didn't really quite know what it was, and that was sort of intentional on our part. But because we got that trust with them, they came along and they came with a positive mindset because they were expecting something good, something useful. And that's really sort of how we've built on it. And the physical activity element's always sort of been quite subtle and underplayed. It's always been the theme of the events. We've always done something that's creative and physically active because that gets people into this real positive mindset, gets them thinking in a different way. But we've kind of underplayed the physical activity element, and it's just been about how we bring people together. And then, as Gail sort of touched on, because people have come along and they've found the events useful and they've got things from it, they've then talked to other people that they're in touch with, and then we've built on those connections without us having to go out and ask people that we might not have a relationship with. That's come about naturally, and especially within that sort of community layer. And then at the events, you know, the events a couple of hours, and we say to people, your time's precious,
you know, please don't feel that you have to stay at the end. We can't get rid of people. They're just, they get chatting, and then at the end of it, there's just this energy, this buzz. You can really feel it in the room, and people are sort of making connections, sharing contact details, and then you know that they're going away and they're building on this outside of the activity that we're doing. So that's, you know, that's the biggest thing that we're taking from it. How we manage to map that and record it and try and get that information back, you know, those kind of ripple effects that we're having, much more difficult, but yeah, you can really feel it at the end of the events.
Ken, when you suggest these, you know, I guess the whole point of this was to do things a bit differently, that, you know, so not just go on, we've spoken about that already, but when you perhaps make suggestions or you're talking, do you find people not necessarily within this group, but going, you know, taking a step back and thinking, really, is that going to work? Do you need, when something kicks off with such a great start, like the one at the maze, is it just right, the ball's rolling now?
I think one of the interesting things back in the beginning was, you know, we first tried to sort of discover the context of what Wakefield was like. And I think one of the things that we felt and saw that was almost, and this is very typical across lots of places, I think there's an energy for people to want things to be different from how they are. There's a sense of hope that things can be better for communities than they currently are. But often we kind of stuck in this mindset, and I think, and maybe stuck is the wrong word, but almost that it's someone else's responsibility, you know, the council, it's the council's responsibility, or it's the NHS's responsibility, or, and you know, I wish that someone else would do something different so that things could be better. One of the themes that we talk about today, perhaps lead into this idea of all leading together. We really wanted to create in Wakefield, and I think this is a really important step everywhere, is to almost try and establish this idea of what if there's lots of leadership but no leaders. You know, what happens if we're all accepting a responsibility for leadership without looking for someone else to lead, but actually to take this mindset of, well, what can I do, what can I contribute, what can my organization contribute, what's my role? And one of the things that Gail and Amy have done brilliantly is invited people into spaces where they can, where we've been able to sort of hold an opportunity for people to explore their own opportunity for leadership. And one of the things that I've loved about the work in Wakefield is this idea that actually most of the people who've been in these spaces are not the usual suspects in terms of physical activity. So we've not been surrounded by sports clubs, as good as sports clubs are and playing a brilliant role in helping communities to be active, not surrounded by people who are all from the leisure centres or the physical activity GP referral schemes, though they've all been involved too. But a wide variety of different people from across all kinds of different sectors, whether it's HUK or the DWP, all different kinds of partners across health and the broader public and community sector, almost exploring, well, what is my role as a leader and how do I contribute to making communities better overall, but as part of that, more active. And there's been a real energy there, you know, building on this idea of this sort of positive energy and doing things differently. We've tried to instill a sense of leading differently, where the responsibility for leadership is a collective one and a collaborative one, and to hold the opportunity for people to talk and explore what that leadership means and looks like, both in terms of feeling, but also in terms of actions. And one of the things that we've done in the Navigating Local Systems work in Wakefield is constantly return to this question of, well, what feeling are you leaving with? What's the feeling that you're taking away with you? And I think that's something that's quite different and been quite powerful for us. You often will focus on, well, what are you going to do? What action are you going to take? Or, you know, what email are you going to send? What's the next meeting that we should have? But we've really tried to focus on this idea of, well, what feeling has really stuck with you? And what does that mean for you personally? And that perhaps seems a bit vague, but in this first stage of sort of building this idea of collective leadership, that's been really important for people to recognize that they're feeling differently than they perhaps felt before, and exploring what that means in terms of who they are and what is their role and what they're responsible for and what they might do next. So that's been something that's been really interesting to me that I've seen particularly prevalent in Wakefield. And it's been a real joy, actually, to see so many people actually wanting to take ownership and a role of their within their sphere of influence, but connecting those spheres of influence together as well.
Amy Gale or Louise, of anything that you've taken around this sort of leadership, of has it impacted on your own approaches, or talk about, you know, people leading differently or different leaders coming forward? Have you either got can think of examples where that's taken place, or has it changed your own approach to the way you work? And that's quite a broad question and not particularly specific, but in terms of finding leadership in different places or allowing other people to take on that leadership, have you got any examples or thoughts on what Ken's just said there?
It's a slightly different example, but it's that kind of, it's making the time and the space for this to be the work. You know, quite often you go to these events and then you go away and you get back into the day job, and it's you've got to be responsible for your own time and your own actions, and this is the work. Making the connections with people is what's going to make the difference. So it's thinking slightly differently about your own role and your own responsibility, and you know, being accountable to yourself that you've made the time for this and that it's important to do. And that's, we're hearing that back now from other people when they come to events. You know, initially it's sort of like, well, I've come, got a couple of hours and then I'm off, and then it's like, actually no, I'm making connections here, and this is the important thing, and this is my leadership role of my own work, is to make sure that I'm well connected with other people and that we're in this together, we're all leading on this together.
I think it's, there's also something about letting go a bit as well. So it's, I think previously for me in my consideration of what it means to be a leader in, you know, whatever role I'm in, what is my leadership role in this work, has usually been, I have an idea, it becomes my baby, I make it happen, and hopefully it'll turn out exactly as I expected. But I think that going through this piece of work where we're looking at whole systems and that idea of other people leading, sometimes you just step back and trust, because if we really want this to be embedded, other people have got to get on board and make it their baby as well. And sometimes that might look different to how you imagined, but sometimes it's better, which was a bit of a revelation to me that, oh, look, we can do this better if lots more people take ownership and lots more people have ideas and lots more people get the opportunity to give things a go. I don't think we've explored that as fully as we can yet, but we definitely dipped our toe in the water and the outcome was good, if a little scary in the process. So, yeah, I think that's been a bit of a learning piece for me, and it's been really positive to experience that.
News, events and jobs for those making sport happen in South Yorkshire and West Yorkshire. Get the latest local, regional and national updates direct to your inbox. Sign up to the YSF Weekly at yorkshiresport.org/subscribe.
I think Ken's gone through there the third approach, which was all leading together, and aiming at the start of your sort of response to what Ken said, you talked about connection. The fourth strand of the approach, that you feel we're more connected. So, and what I think sort of run through, we've briefly touched upon at different points in each of the, I think each of the approach themes so far, if you like, is about inviting not the expected, or inviting the people to be there and the organisations to be there, people might expect more traditionally, but also particularly the role of the voluntary sector and things like that. So partners not from the sport and physical activity world has made more new connections. Is that what you, one of the main things you've taken from that and from this approach?
Yeah, and that was definitely sort of with intent. We, you know, we wanted to work with people who weren't traditionally from a sport background, because if you're involved in that, you're probably already doing it, and we need to spread this across what everybody's doing to make sure that physical activity is embedded across everybody's agenda, because it's so important, you know, in all walks of life, it's so important. And there's always a danger that if you focus on those people that are already engaged with it, you just, it's the usual suspects, you're having the same conversations. So we really wanted to connect with other parts of the system. And we focused on the community layer because we've got some good connections there. We knew that there was a lot of energy at that level. We were already starting to have some of these conversations, and some other organisations were talking a similar language to us. There was definitely some energy there. So it was like, well, this makes complete sense, and let's start here and see where it develops. And we have seen it as a result bubble up, and then we've got more senior advocates coming and being involved as we've gone through this. So over the last 18 months, you know, towards the back end of that, we've started to see more senior people go, all right, we need to be connected in with this. There's something happening here and it's important and it's useful for us. But yeah, we purposely started with
sort of the unusual suspects. And I think that's been, it's been fabulous because we've all learned a lot from each other from doing that. But in terms of other connections, we've also, you know, we've connected with other partners, not just in Wakefield, but across, like, for example, Sport England, other people who are doing the navigating local systems, so with Luton and Liverpool. And it's been really useful to make new connections that way. COVID's had an impact because we've not met many of these people in real life, which is a shame. But, you know, Teams is next best thing. And you learn a lot from other people, what they're doing. They've all taken completely different approaches to it. But we've learned from what they're working on and how they're working. And sometimes that's around, you know, giving challenge back and learning collectively about each other and how other people are doing it. So, yeah, it's been really useful in that way.
Louise, how, from a Sport England perspective then, how valuable has that been? And I guess, I don't know, because you ask people to try new things, you perhaps don't have a strict idea of where you want it to go, but these three areas sharing practice and being more connected to yourselves and in Sport England, was that kind of a yes, we would love it if this sort of thing would happen? And how has it impacted on Sport England, the work that not just Wakefield, obviously, I know we're talking about Wakefield, but the three have done?
I think for a start, the benefit to the place has been that kind of small network where they've been able to support each other and talk to each other about the kind of challenges that they're facing. And as Amy touched on, each of the three places, you know, we set out with these are the outcomes we hope you'll achieve. So each place had that kind of same starting point, but they went off in completely different directions, which has been really fascinating. And I guess that's the value of working in a place-based way. It's got to be right for you and your community. So I think that's been a real a strength of this, that it's actually, we want the same outcomes, but you can go about it whatever suits you and whatever suits your place, because you have your kind of local context is so important. I think for us, what's been valuable is sitting back and hearing how the places are working and the way that they've kind of tackled, you know, trying to work across their system to influence physical activity. And each have had success in different areas and have started working on the system in a different place, but have also had the other places to look to go, well, yeah, we haven't started there, but perhaps we could do that next. So it's that you can't kind of eat the whole elephant at once, excuse the analogy. So you've got to start somewhere. And I guess for Wakefield, they started at the community level. Well, Luton and Liverpool started in different places. So there's real places to go. And I guess also that actually you don't need 20 people to form a community. You know, a lot of the time there's been three people in a room, virtual room, talking about their places with passion, knowledge and enthusiasm. And that's been enough for it to feel really useful and tangible. And I guess the other thing that Wakefield did really well was reflecting. So they set up a WhatsApp group and started off a little shakily recording themselves thinking and reflecting on the different approaches that they'd taken. And I think as, you know, time went on, they got more and more comfortable with recording themselves. But, you know, as an observer, Gail saying no, she didn't. As an observer, it was really interesting to kind of hear the reflections of Amy and Gail and Ken and some of the other local staff thinking about how an event had gone immediately after the event, because that's when the kind of real learning happens. And it's reflecting on things that went well, but also what would happen next time and what would be different. And there's some of the things that we pulled out for our kind of phase one learning document is actually, what did you learn and what didn't go well? Because that's the real value actually in this work, that you're safe to fail. You don't have to get it right. We don't know how it's going to go. We don't know which journey which route you're going to take. But that kind of learning element for us has been really crucial. And the fact that Wakefield have let us in and virtually, and actually in the place. So I was at the maze and got to grow some plants and did the little treasure hunt with the Cluedo cards. And that was so valuable to be there and experience it in the place.
Ken, I guess that's the theme that Louise touched on there, is the learning new skills and approaches aspect of this, the sort of penultimate theme that we're going to touch on. as someone who's helped facilitate this sort of work, what new skills and approaches have you really seen take hold, perhaps within Wakefield particularly?
Well, lots. Really good question. I mean, without wanting to embarrass Gail and Amy, who've really been at the heart of this work, I've been very much on the fringe in some ways, trying to support them to then support the place. But whilst retaining a complete sense of authenticity in who they are, for me, they're completely transformed in the way in which they've been going about this work. A completely different sense of confidence about and self-assurance to say I don't know. There's something really powerful in that is difficult when you're setting off on a journey. It's quite difficult in a professional context where you've got line managers and other people, where your starting point is I don't know the answer, I don't know what I'm doing. But actually, that's a skill, that sense of self-assurance which unlocks so many opportunities then for you to learn and connect and build new relationships. I think the way in which people in Wakefield have approached learning has been a new skill. This idea of reflective practice, of thinking carefully about the whys and the hows. I think one of the skills or different ways of working that I think has been really valuable, Louise has touched on there, and this is learning, I think, for Sport England and you know, the Active Partnership and others. This sense of really doing the work together. So the relationship has not been funder and deliverer, but actually a partnership between Sport England, as Louise talked about, and the team in Wakefield. And that's a new skill as well. How do you work collaboratively alongside people rather than trying to impress them in such a way that they're happy with what you've been doing? You know, how do we go on a journey where we sort of seek collective joy, if you like, as opposed to I do things based on what I think will make you happy as the funder, I think has been a big difference. So lots about facilitation, lots about relationship building, lots about I think creating spaces for people to feel things. So our typical meetings in our workspace you wouldn't involve an element of how are people going to feel afterwards, like what's the emotional connection here. But Gail and Amy in particular I think first now with how things are going to feel rather than what is the things we're going to discuss. Almost the discussion becomes secondary to the way in which I'm going to feel about it, and because emotions last a long time. I think it's Maya Angelou who said something like, you know, people forget the things you say, but they never forget the way you make them feel. And I think that's what we really believe in, that in our personal lives, but that doesn't transition into our work context very often. But I think it's important. It's an important part of this system change work, is almost leaving people with feelings that really connect with them. You know, and Gail mentioned senior leaders before. The bit that really connected with the senior leaders at that particular event was a lady who had set up her own independent, very small physical activity business, trying to help people who are not active as an independent sole trader, sharing her experience, not of the work that she was doing, but what led her there in terms of her desire to be, you know, her personal journey of physical activity, her personal wrestle with mental health, if you like. And then as she discovered who she was, wanting to help other people make that same discovery. And that really connected with this particular senior leader who then went on this journey of, well, I need to forget trying to do stuff and start to connect with people on a one-to-one level, and then create this movement of one who gets one, who gets one, who gets one. And so that all of those concepts and skills around movement building, if you like, I think are new skills. And I don't like to call them soft skills. They're power skills in some respects. They're how do we really generate energy, and I think the team in Wakefield have really learned how to do that in a very authentic, very humble, but very powerful way. They're much better at it than I've seen almost anywhere else. Actually, I've been really inspired by the way in which they've led.
Just because I think one of the strengths has been that Gail and Amy have been learning alongside their partners in the place, and they've been really humble with it. And it's been like they've been on a journey. So they've started from scratch, if you like, as well as all the kind of locally trusted organisations that they've been working with. So it's been a real sense of kind of sounds really cheesy, camaraderie. But it, you know, it's been like we're really learning this together. We don't really get system change either. You know, we're all going to go on this journey together. We're all not sure what the language means, or but actually what we know is what Ken was saying. We know what we want to feel at the end of it, and we know what our end goal is. But we're here to try and turn something that could be a theoretical concept into something that really means something for Wakefield and journey with you. So that's been really stark for me, that Gail and Amy have not stood at the front of these rooms and said, we're experts in system change and we're going to bring you in. It's been actually, let's do this together and how can we build a movement? So that feels really important for that trust building locally.
And the one other the final thing I'd add on this little section, which I think has been really lovely, that goes with that sense of humility, is I think there's been a real keenness to learn from other places as well. You know, when I've sort as the sort of coach or supporter or facilitator for Wakefield, but when I've suggested about things that I've seen elsewhere or things that have worked in other places, you know, with I do some work in Together and Active Future, one of the local delivery pilots in Pennine, Lancashire. But as Amy mentioned as well, you know, when chatting with colleagues at Luton and Liverpool, a real openness to new ideas. And you'd think that's fairly common, but actually I think as humans we quite often default to if it's not my idea, then it's not a good idea. But there's been a real openness to this sense of if there's good learning out there, then not how do we copy that, but how do we take the elements that really apply to our local context in Wakefield, because our place is different, but apply them in ways that suit our circumstances and our people and our partnerships.
Sorry, Ian, I just wanted to say, I think that's been a real gift that working with Ken and Louise has brought about, is that we've had the opportunity to hear some ideas from other places and to sort of go, that sounds exciting. You know, how could we play with that and make it relevant to our place? That's been a real gift. And also Louise bringing together the three places, Luton and Liverpool and ourselves, because although our work has been very different, our challenges have been really similar. And so those conversations have been really useful. And actually, if people are at different stages in their work, you can almost kind of see, actually, that might come up for us. So what might we do about it now in our thinking? So that has just been so useful.
Great, fantastic. We've gone through the six themes and they almost all led handily, like we planned it, neatly into that. I don't think I had to introduce three or four of the six, so thanks for that. And that one, for anyone who wasn't sure, was talking about collaboration and the importance of that. So 2019, we're now recording in June 2023. Gail, what next for this piece of work? Because there's clearly some really strong foundations being put in place. So where do you take this next?
I think it helps to just say that we're really excited about the what next. So we have been working on this for a while and we hear the learning out of the local delivery pilot areas that obviously have a much more significant investment than we've had about this work takes time. And it does take time. And I think that we've spent quite a while getting almost to our next jump off point. So we feel that we've built a really good basis for what we can do next. We know that people are interested in doing things differently and it almost doesn't feel that different anymore because more people are doing this stuff in their day-to-day jobs as well. But we want to continue to work alongside Sport England with the continued investment that they've awarded us, which is great for the next couple of years. And we're looking at accelerating the work that we've started and deepening some of that work. So that's going to start with us ideally delivering some more opportunities for people to come together to learn collectively. There's loads more learning still to do around whole systems and what that means in our place. And if we set that within a physical activity context, that's much more specific again. So I think there's some real work that we can do there. But also through that work, being really alert to opportunities to learn in the delivery. So if people are saying this is a really knotty issue that comes up time and time again, you know, there are things that you hear when you work in places about, yeah, but the problem is, and how many years have you heard people talking about that same problem? And I think what the learning together does is it creates a safe environment for people to start kind of talking about some of these things and for us to hear it and for us to then say, well, what would we do about that then? So off the back of some of that work, we want to develop communities of learning, but also communities of delivery, so that the real work you know, happens in real issues. So we've got that opportunity to learn and work together. And we'll be using some of the Sport England investment to help that along, where an investment can make a difference. We'll have that in our back pocket to be able to say, oh, right, OK, that's a great idea. What might it take to get it off the ground? And if what it takes is a bit of funding, then we can put that into the system to move things along in a really much more focused and specific way, perhaps, than we have done so far. And we want to continue to engage at that community layer, because we know that that's where the real work happens. But I think we've also now got this real opportunity with this continued investment and the renewed kind of interest and energy in the more strategic and senior layer to be able to bring that together in a bit more of a formalised network of people who are really understanding their role in advocating for physical activity right across the system and using the positions that they're in to the greater good, but also to understand that this work needs to breathe and it needs its own space and it needs to develop at the pace at which the system can develop it at. So, I don't know if I've described that particularly clearly, but it's kind of more of the same, but a bit different.
Amy's got her hand up poised, ready to add some more. Amy?
Yeah, just building on what Gail said there and what Ken said earlier, you know, we've got a broad outline plan of where we want to take this work, but really we still don't fully know. We're all learning together, and that's really important that we take it where the energy is, you know, where we get buy-in, that's where we'll build this network and this system. So it's really important to remember that, you know, it's not a finished product now. We still don't have all the answers. We don't know what's going to make the biggest difference in communities, and it's still a learning process as we go forward. So I think that's really exciting, because if somebody said, you know, you've been working on this for a couple of years, now put some solid plans together and that's what you're going to have to deliver over the next 2 years, it wouldn't feel authentic, and it would feel like we were going against what we've done up to now. And I'd be really sad if that's where we ended up with it. So I think this is a real opportunity that we can, you know, still explore things. We can still work in the way that we have been working.
40 minutes to discuss 4 years worth of work. We're looking at what's coming next, and now I'm going to ask you to all give me a nice approximately 60 second soundbite for what comes next. But I guess it's from the last 4 years and looking ahead to what's to come, what is the most significant piece of learning from what's come so far that you will carry forward with you? And obviously there are lots, quite clearly, and we've discussed them, but from a very personal thing, might be around the, you're still working from different organizations, but yeah, the most significant learning from the last 4 years that you think is absolutely essential that carries forward. And I will start with Ken.
That's good for me to go first. I think for me, one of the things that I've really learned that I didn't know before, that I hoped was true but I'd never really seen in action, is the ability of people to create change and create energy. Even if the whole organisation is not necessarily fully there, or a very small project in the Navigating Local Systems. So, Amy and Gail are within very large organisations with all kinds of different people around them and all kinds of different departments. You can imagine a unitary council and all the different layers of that. By starting at this community layer, they've generated sufficient energy and sufficient desire for change, and almost like sufficient sense of expectation that then the broader leadership across the system, within, you know, the hierarchies of the council and the NHS and others, have had to stand up and take notice. It's almost been almost a mini revolution, in the sense of, if we do things differently and if we build sufficient energy, then we'll have to it will continue to grow. And senior leaders have been really accepting of that as the energy has come, but weren't necessarily convinced right at the beginning. And so I think that's been something that I've seen be really powerful, that no matter where you are in the system, you can lead change and build energy, and ultimately everyone will want to come with you.
Navigating Local Systems, a mini revolution. I think our episode has a title. I will offer, does anyone want to go next, or poise for something to say, or I can just pick someone at random? Gail's looks to have given way to our to our guest from Sporting, Louise.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry, Gail. Slightly beat you, slightly put you to the post. I guess if I look at it from two ways. So in terms of learning for Wakefield, I think it's been around the approach and getting that buy-in from the people, because they've had shared focus. It's not been about, you know, we're doing this project, here's our action plan, you and you can have these as your actions. It's been real kind of collaboration, and they've really learned that that's just so valuable. And then I think from a Sport England perspective, it's been that being able to trust in the process and trust the place to go and make their own decisions. So being removed from it, not being micromanaging. We use the term handrails, not handcuffs. It's like, actually, you know what? We trust you to give it a go, try it out, see what happens. And giving time for kind of reflection. And that's great learning for us to be able to share with other places. So as we move forward, and Wakefield are now one of nine places working in a kind of place-based whole system way, they'll be part of a new network to continue to learn. And that's going to be really valuable for us to keep kind of sharing, learning across those nine places. And you know, going forward, there'll be more than that. So loads of valuable learning for us, I think.
For me, it's around what Ken was talking about earlier about connecting people personally to the work. I think I'd underestimated the power of that until this piece of work when we started. Ken has this lovely life course tool that he shared with us. It was about just thinking about the different stages in your life so far where you've been active more than others, and understanding and unpicking that about the joy you might have felt and the pleasure you took at different stages in life as being active, and you might not have even noticed that they were active at the time, and then understanding what's got in your way. Because if you can understand, for non-sport people who say I'm not sporty, for non-sporty people to go through that, it shows them that at some stage in their life they have enjoyed being physically active and it added something to their lives, so it connects them personally to the work. And then for people who maybe have been sporty but have stopped, it connects them back into, oh, well, I really missed that. Why did I stop doing that? And I think to share that experience together is a real strong and powerful thing. You know, some people get quite emotional when they think about things that have lost or things that could be potentially in their future, and it just reminds people that they're not just there wearing their lanyard or their organizational badge or job title. They're there as people, and if we can connect people and leave them with a feeling, then that's more likely to carry through into their, they're going to feel more galvanized to action in their day-to-day job.
Three brilliant answers, but because there's so much, Amy, I'm sure you've still got loads more that you want to. What's your
fortunately, I do. I was going to go with a completely different tack, so that's excellent. Worked out nicely. It doesn't matter going last. Yeah, for me, it's around doing things differently and being brave and having the permission to be creative and, you know, re-engage with that side of things rather than often, you know, it's report writing and, you know, leading projects and project management type skills. And this has been such a breath of fresh air to do things completely different and, you know, have those creative ideas and then discuss it and realize that they're not completely mad. As long as you just, you know, bring them in a little bit, they're probably acceptable to everybody who's going to come along to these events. So that's just been, you know, such a joy to do something like that, and then to realize that other people are keen to do things differently as well. So we put on these slightly mad events and other people come and they don't leave going, well, that was mad, I've no idea what that was all about. You know, they go away thinking, oh, that was really clever, and now I've actually learned some new skills there, and I'm going to see how I can take that into the rest of my network and the work that I do. So I think that's really exciting. I want that to carry on, and I think, you know, that we don't need to know where this is going. We just need to trust that, you know, if we do it collectively and we all jump on three, we'll see where we end up over the next 2 years.